Today is Thursday when we read from your letters. This week, many people were angered by a comment made in our report about why Europeans get 6 weeks' vacation each year, and most Americans get only 16 days off. Economist Lester Thoreau noted in an interview that both Europe and the U.S. had relatively short vacations back in the 1950s, but as the standard of living went up in both places, the Europeans got longer vacations and the Americans didn't. His conclusion? Americans don't really want vacations. They'd rather have the money.
Douglas Weaver wrote that he heard the remark, in his words, while sitting in front of a printing machine, working my fingers to the bone in a dingy factory in the east end of Pittsburgh. Mr. Weaver goes on to say, I'm not sure which America Lester Thoreau came from, but it's sure not the one I live and work in. The one I'm from is full of hard work and low earnings. It's where most of us live and most of us would love a break. I think Mr. Thoreau is referring to the Americans who own factories like the one I toil in. They're the people who've made the choice to work and have the big goodies, as he put it. If American workers had the favorable labor rules that Europeans enjoy, we wouldn't mind taking a month or two off of work one bit.
Carter Lusher wrote from Menlo Park, California, in praise of Margot Adler's report on voice therapy. In a couple of weeks, I go in for my 7th vocal cord surgery in 20 years. In my case, he writes, complete voice rest lasts not just 2 weeks, but usually between 3 and 6 weeks. He goes on to say, the comment about people being treated differently depending on the quality of their voices is dead on. People can react in odd ways when confronted with someone on voice rest. Some folks speak really slowly and loudly and exaggerate their lip movements because obviously my condition means I have trouble understanding spoken language. Other folks want me to hand them my notebook so they can write down their replies because obviously my condition means that in addition to not being able to talk, I can't hear. No particular moral of this story except that I have an appreciation of the struggles and inconveniences that disabled people put up with on a daily and lifelong basis.
Rita Krolls-DeWolf of Chicago also liked the report with one qualification. As a speech-language pathologist, I do regret that nothing was mentioned about vocal rehabilitation techniques. Good vocal techniques taught by speech-language therapist pathologists often can avoid some of these problems before they start and prevent them from reoccurring after surgery.
Our story about the dent eraser, which smooths out the dents in tubas, drew lots of inquiries from people eager to buy the device, and several alarming warnings that dent erasers can be hazardous to your health. This one came from John Dunia, who is a member of the National Association of Professional Band Instrument Repair Technicians. The magnets used for this and other similar products are extremely powerful, he reminds us. So powerful, he says, they can actually cause metal objects to be attracted toward them. It certainly would behoove you to research that aspect of the product before some know-it-all high school band director purchases one of these and ends up with an entire tuba section that have damaged digits.
Listeners had very mixed reactions to the Firesign Theater's satire on homeland security efforts and the program to get civilians to tip the government to suspicious activity. Thomas Ledford of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, said, "We disgraced ourselves by running the skit. Our country, our culture, even civilization itself is under attack," he writes, "and those jerks try to make fun of our efforts to defend ourselves from fanatics. Why don't you make fun of breast cancer patients? Why not laugh at their foolish search for cures?"
But Firesign had its defenders, among them Jonathan Camras of Tampa, Florida, who emailed us this note. "I just heard the wonderful madness that by itself sustains the surrealistic movement. Bravo."
Speaking of surreal, we got this one-sentence message from Jim Brown of Houston, Texas, about her piece on placebos. "When testing drugs for diabetics," he writes, "do they use a sugar pill for the placebo?"
Send your idle thoughts, comments, and criticisms to us at our email address, atc@npr.org. And when you do, don't forget to tell us where you're writing from and how to pronounce your name.